O Lord, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I will be faithful. I will be faithful. I promise to do that. That's what we mean when we say I promise, whether it's when we got married, whether it's when we sign a contract, whether it's just when I'll do that washing for you. We give our promise and we're promising to fulfill our promise by action. This is what we have here in this passage. God reaffirms his covenant. He's affirmed it over and over and over again. And we're going to flesh out some things. We're going to look at God reaffirming his covenant and God's sovereign grace. And then we're going to deal with, in between those two, we're going to deal with a very important question that Eric and I were talking about yesterday on the walk in Llandudno while we were going up the hill.
Aren't we boring?
Yeah. That's what we do when we're on our days out. We discuss Bible passages and theological problems. But it's a very, very important one because this passage needs to be read properly. So we have here, we'll look first at God reaffirms his covenant. God reaffirms his covenant. And if you look at verse 15, it says, "The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn.'" The angel of the Lord speaks as God. This has led many scholars to say, this is God appearing in human form. It's God appearing in human form. It happens a lot in the Bible. Yes, God became man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a one-off. And this isn't the same thing. But he appears in human form. So God does that throughout the Bible all the time. He makes himself accessible to us so we can understand him. And indeed, he's so gracious, because we're going to see how gracious he is. But one of the things he is, he modifies himself without changing who he is, but he modifies himself to us so we can understand. So God has appeared in human form. And he says, "By myself I have sworn." Now God could have just said once to Abraham, "I'll bless you and make you multiply." And that would have been enough. Because God can't lie, as the writers of the Hebrews says. So if God says it once, that should be enough. That would be enough for God, from God's part. And if our faith was not strong enough, then that's tough. But God's a God of grace. And look at what he says. He's given his promise and then he takes an oath by himself. He says, "By myself I have sworn." And the writer to the Hebrews in the passage we looked at, Hebrews 6, fleshes it out. He says, look, when you swear, when you take an oath, and I don't believe the words of the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount forbid all oath taking. It just forbids careless oath taking, like, "Oh, look, I swear to God, I was there that night when you said that." You don't need to swear by God in that, but when we're in court, when Christ took an oath, God himself took an oath, it was a solemn promise. And if you were to take an oath in court, you would swear by somebody greater. You'd either swear on the Bible or you'd make a solemn promise. Because there's no one higher than God, and God couldn't swear by anyone higher, so he swore by himself. Why? Because he's gracious. Because he wanted Abraham's faith to be strengthened. He says, "I've promised you this, Abraham." And he brought him right from Genesis 12 to Genesis 22, all those years of faithfulness, all that through all his disobedience. And he says, "Right, that promise, I'm making it again. And I swear by myself that I will do it." Abraham had an abundance of proof of God's faithfulness up until this point, but God in grace gives him greater assurance. That's how gracious our God is. He reaffirms his covenant And he repeats his promises in the Bible over and over and over and over again. He gives his promise. Abraham messes up. He repeats his promises. Then he gives them again. Abraham messes up again. He repeats his promises. And even after he obeys, God repeats them and repeats them. And then he gives greater assurances, as I've said. He doesn't just give the promise, he swears by himself. And the writer to the Hebrews uses this passage. Because the letter to the Hebrews is written in such a way, it's written to a group of Christians who are Jewish or Hebrew, that's what Hebrews means, who are thinking of abandoning the Christian faith. And the writer to the Hebrews says this, no, don't do that. This Christian faith has come from God, and God swore to Abraham that this would happen, that Christ would come, and all the nations would be blessed. If you forsake it, you're calling God a liar, and you're saying the oath of God doesn't matter. He warns the writer to the Hebrews, has warned them to persevere in the faith. And he quotes this passage to say, look, you look at the promise that God's given. He promised us this, and he swore by himself. You can trust him, so keep the faith. God has sworn by himself. That's what the writer to the Hebrews is saying. That's what we can take from this. That's what Abraham was supposed to take from this. It was supposed to strengthen his faith. Because God is faithful. It's an encouragement. And the reason the writer to the Hebrews quotes this passage is because he gave them a warning. He said, and I believe this, that true believers are preserved by God's grace in faith. True believers, God saved them and God will keep them. Because God swore by himself that he'd do it. And a true believer then will persevere in the faith. They will keep the faith because faith was a gift from God. Temporary faith isn't a real faith. That's what the parable of the sower is about in Matthew 13. He talks about four different soils and only the fourth one is true soil. How do you know? Because it brings forth fruit in perseverance. The temporary soils aren't genuine. The true believers, I believe, Christians can't lose their salvation, I believe that. But a true believer will stay a believer. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews was getting at. He says, come on, God's promised, he's promised to save you, and I'm sure you are, because I've seen fruit in your life, but persevere, because if you don't, it's a sign you're not saved. And the more times you hear the gospel, the greater your responsibility is. The words of Hebrews 6, the early part, are really sharp. Thomas Watson, one of the Puritans, said it's the worst thing to go to hell with a head full of sermons. Because you'll have heard the gospel over and over and over and over and over and over again. To go to hell having heard the call to repentance week after week after week after week and to say no. What a horrifying thing. He said, God has a right to be obeyed. But he promises us blessings for our obedience. And another verse that speaks about blessings for obedience. It's one of my favourites. There's no greater, I don't think, motivation for a devout and holy life, a godly Christian life, than this verse. Whenever you're struggling with sin, whenever you're tempted to do something you know you shouldn't do, that you know that God hates, think about this verse. first. John 14, verse 21. If you can memorize it, memorize it. He says this, whoever has my commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Intimacy with Christ. Closeness to Christ. Conformity to Christ's character. That's God's encouragement for us to obey him. Again, it's a reward of grace. God gives it to us of sheer grace. He says, be holy for I am holy. Again, that would be enough. But he says, if you're holy, you can have intimacy with me. You can be really close to me. You'll really get to know me. Be persistent in reading the scriptures, in prayer, in public worship, in these things, talking to other believers about the Bible. Come to life group. You be persistent in all this and you will have intimacy with me and you will obey me and I will bless you. This is grace. Grace upon grace. And the true Christian, as we've said, will be preserved. God will keep you in his favor. God will give you fruit in your life. God will give you that as an assurance so you can say, I'm a Christian because I see fruit. So is that what we're doing? Is your faith genuine? Do you repent of your sins? Do you obey God's commands? Do you fellowship with God's people? Do you trust in Christ and Christ alone to be saved? These are questions we need to ask ourselves, folks. Especially when we come to the supper. Every month we should be asking these. Am I repenting? Am I faithful? Am I walking in love? Am I growing in my knowledge of God and of his word? That's what Paul means when he says, don't take it unworthily. If you want more teaching on this, bless Tony. He asked me for it last week. What's this talk at Keswick? Sam Albury goes right through the first letter of John and he asks questions that John asks in that letter about how you can know you're really a Christian. 5 chapters, 5 days, 5 sermons. Go through them. Am I a Christian? Let's test myself. And the final point of this passage that shows God's sovereign, amazing grace is God's providence. God, in his providence, is getting Abraham's seed ready. Verse 23. Bethuel fathered Rebekah. We're going to read about her next week. If you know Genesis, Rebekah became Isaac's wife. So when all this is happening, this trauma that Abraham's gone through, this test, God's saying, you passed the test, I'll bless you, here's your promise. And that promise I made, I'm working on it now. You will have seed, as many as the stars in the sky. I'm getting your wife, your son's wife, ready. God's working in ways we can't see. When you're going through hard times, let's remember that. When I fear my faith will fail, he will hold me fast. He's working. He will bring us safely home. Because he's a God of amazing grace who's made promises. And he will keep them. And he will preserve us. So praise God for his faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, O God my Father. That old hymn never gets old because it's always true. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Trust and obey him. If you're not a Christian, we'd invite you to come to Christ this very day. Remember what we've said. To hear the gospel over and over again. Not just me preaching, you hear it read. We sing it, you'll see it, you'll talk about it, you'll listen, you'll do all these things. Don't reject Christ. He's altogether lovely. He's the pearl of greatest price. Embrace him as your Saviour today. And remind yourself over and over again about the gospel. Because like Abraham, we need it over and over again. You've heard it, you'll eat it, you'll sing about it. And say with Paul, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.